Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. I want to start from Romans chapter 12. I'll just quickly go over a few things that I mentioned last week, and I'm going to take a little step just deeper into a few other things, and I hope we are able to cast it. I don't know, but we want to call the message tweaking the numbers, or if you like, understanding the dynamics of your assignment. Romans chapter 12, let's read verse 5. Can you hear me clearly? Am I clear? Okay. Romans chapter 12 and verse 5 says, "So we being many are one body in Christ, one members, one of another." Verse 6. "Having then gifts, differing what? According to the grace that has been given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of what? Of faith. Of ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth, on our teaching. Or he that exalted, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence." Or if you like, "He that leadeth, with diligence. And he that shows mercy, with what? Cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation." I'm dedicating this message to the memory of our brother, Dr. Wee, who is in Jesus, currently in service in heaven, amen, and perfected, already perfected. Hallelujah. Last week I was sharing with us, and I want to just quickly touch on a few things. It got to me has already helped to clarify certain things. But one of the things I said to us last week was that you must understand the grace that has been given to you. This is a personal discovery. This is a personal revelation. Nobody can do it for you. It doesn't matter what I am saying. It doesn't matter what I am prophesying to you. If you do not come to that personal discovery of what heaven has spoken or declared over you, even God is helpless over your matter. So everything God is doing in time, from eternity, is to bring you to that point where both of you agree. Everything God is doing is to bring you to that point where both of you agree. And look at that scripture. He said that, "Having then gifts," and you look at the emphasis there is on gifts. In other words, what is apportioned to me is quite different from what is apportioned to you. I am not superior because I seemingly have a flashing or flaming gift, and you are not inferior simply because you have something that is less visible. But you touch one part of your body, for instance, if you have a little tongue underneath your toe, or somewhere, or maybe have a little injury, so you wounded, something. You just have some of this part very uncomfortable. It looks very insignificant, but you don't see that the whole leg is in the body. So everything was so distributed for balance. Everything is distributed for balance, and it is a distribution that takes place even before you showed up. So you cannot come to God and say you don't have anything. The difference between the guy who was given 1 pound and was able to bring forth an harvest of 5 pounds is leadership. The difference between the guy who had 1 pound and brought back one is not that he didn't start the business. He lacked certain skills that reproduce it. Because if I feel what that I can't, and that's what many of us do. We take our harvest and we eat it up. And tell yourself, I'm going to prepare against the next day. There is no seed that is planted in convenience. I repeat, there is no seed that is planted in convenience. You went to school for 4 years, you have to sit through that terrible class, you have to fail that course and sit it out again. Many times you could not even tell your parents that you had an extra, you know, you have to visit a course. You understand what I'm saying? You just went out there and took the shame, sat in the class, and wrote the exam again. It's okay to make mistakes. So this morning, I want us to please take a survey or take a go online, try to look for godly material. I hope that maybe I can come back and begin to tell you how to identify your gift. It goes to me, I've been able to tell us a few things. On this side of eternity, all those principles are valid. On the flip side of eternity, not all of them are valid. For instance, what God calls me to do was his own intention even before I came on board. So God now began to wire me for the intention. So for me to find my ministry, I must first find God. You understand? Because God is going to be sending some of us into the entertainment world to be able to reach out to some of these super high flyers or stars, if you like, and if you are not careful, you will be mesmerized by their giftings. That you'll be able to reach out to them. I have a friend, he lives in Jos. My friend, you see him on Facebook, you see, you know, taking pictures of some of these are popular artists in Nigeria. Sometimes he organizes shows. He's also a singer. He organizes shows and they sing in the show. Then he comes in and does his own Christian song. Are you hearing me? Now, if not everybody is required to be able to minister to the tribe. So the guy needs a type of pastor that understands that type of ministry. You understand? He didn't bring them to the church. He went out there to meet with them. Created a structure. Once or twice every year, we are going to have this road show, we are going to have this musical program, then they bring some of the big names from Lagos and Abuja, and they come in and they do their thing, sing their popular song, and people are hailing and hailing and hailing. Then he comes and carries his guitar and starts. La 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 la. And he just starts this thing like that. At the end of the day, nobody remembers the other guys who came. They remember the moment God walked into that meeting. It's a strategy for him. You have to be called and wired for that. If not, you will go there and realize that your ministry begins to change. Having then gifts that are different, it is your responsibility to understand the nature and context of your gift. You may be pastored by a prophet, but you may be a prophet of another type or another kind. You have to understand the content and the context of your gift. It is your responsibility. You don't understand your gift by looking at the gift. You understand your gift by looking at the person who did it. I don't know if we are making progress. This is very important because now we are talking about taking the nations. And the only way we can get this job done is to deploy leadership. The only way we can get the task done is to what? Deploy leadership. Like I said to you, God will give you an assignment, but inside your assignment there are the major purposes and there are the lesser purposes. You must receive grace in your spirit to label what your higher purposes are and your lesser purposes are. The lesser purposes of Paul was to travel to Ephesus and to Thessalonians and to preach and start churches. And but the higher purpose was what? For him to document scripture for us. Today there are no churches in any of those places, but we have scripture. Label your assignment. Understand that which is temporal and that which is permanent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, okay. How many of you know? Let's take a survey. Now, I believe everybody here quite agrees I don't have a good voice. I believe everybody quite agrees that I don't have. Yes and yes.
Yes.
Do I have the atmosphere? Singing is not my calling. But because of what I have to do, I have to be in a particular atmosphere. So I asked the Lord when I was going to start pastoring. I said, Lord, I need to be able to sing to you in a way that I can get my atmosphere around me. So I looked around. What kind of musical person do I know around that I enjoy the song? Okay, my friend, she talk. I said, Lord, I want something close to that. We are not competing. I just want something close. Just give me a little of that. And I don't think you would mind. So I said to him, I said, hi, Chintok, I said, I asked the Lord to, give me a bit of some singing thing, not like you, but I like your flavor, you know. And I said, he glory to God, amen, amen, amen. Why is it so terrible? Like, amen, hallelujah. In my mind, like, I wasn't preaching, I just told you what I was asking the Lord. So, fast forward into a few months. Then I will be standing here and I'll start hearing songs. I didn't think about it. Like this song will just stand up. My heart is fixed. They just come like sometimes I'm on the road, it just comes like that. And then we begin to find out we have a culture of even like 7, 10, 12, 15 songs. And then Pastor Ayo will come a few months during our anniversary and say, wow, that is surprising, you came here. Notice we are singing our own song. But that was not me when the church started. You understand? It's not a core gift for me, but it's an essential gift. I say you give paper and Bible. You itemize your core gift. Some are not core, but they are essential. You may need to go for a training for it. It may be something that can be imparted. Are you listening to me? It may be something, it could be something that could be imparted. For instance, I have no musical sense. But I can hold the microphone and I believe even without a keyboard, I can just get to sing. And even if you don't feel anything, then I will sense God's strength. I'm surprised when I sing and I don't sense his strength. I'm surprised. Is that serious for me? But it was a request. I needed it from somebody who had. And I said, Lord, that one. I don't want the anointing that jumps up and down. I want the one that stays in place and cuts through the heavens. So you that keep having friends, that there's nothing good about them, you thank God for. I wish you good luck. We are going to be engaging nations, but we will not be engaging nations with tongues. That's the flip side, the binary equation. We are not going to engage them with tongues because they don't speak tongues there. Did you notice that when Jesus was going to give the commission, the Great Commission, he did it on the mountain? Matthew 28, let's go there. Matthew 28, verse 16. Jesus chose the site. He was going to teach the Beatitudes. He chose what? A mountain. Are you with me? Jesus chose the mountain. Look at this. Verse 16. Then the 11 went away into Galilee, into where? A mountain where Jesus had what? Appointed. So Jesus told them, this mountain, this particular one, meet me there. Mountains are not only symbols of problems. Sometimes they are places of encounter. Just because you saw a mountain in your dream doesn't necessarily mean it might be the lost mountain. So it just shows a mountain. And then look at what he said to them, verse 17. And when they saw him, oh goodness, there is something about finding your place in your assignment. The glory of the Lord is so pronounced there. Look at when Jesus was going to get transfigured, he chose a mountain. And then when he got there, what the Bible says, he transfigured. It was as if he knew how to do it. It's as if he knew what was going to happen. He didn't do it at the valley. He brought them into a place where only mountain climbers will come. Only where people who could travel light will proceed to. And he got into that place, just three people. I would think that if I was going to manifest a glory like this, I should get into the temple, and where all the Pharisees were seated, and where all the Sadducees and all the scribes were seated, and all the disciples were there, I would just blaze. And all of them would say, oh, how great thou art. How can you have this kind of glory and you concede? Jesus chose to reveal this type of glory to three men. And then he will come down and take criticism from the multitude. I'm going to find your mountain. Your glory is most pronounced in your place of assignment. Most pronounced. It will just be effortless. The Bible said that when they saw him, they worshipped him, some doubted. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power has now been given to me in the heavens and in the earth. And then he began to speak. Identify the grace that has been given to you. In the light of that, you must understand the depth of that gift. How deep is that gift? Is this in its raw form? Yes, you may have the gift of prophecy. Yet you may have maybe some ability to transcribe eternal things. There are certain things some people say when you hear them. For instance, if you listen to someone like Reverend K, you may listen to him and you are like, wow. But you know there are people that can capture those things he's saying and put it in paper. Capture the same energy, put it in paper. Reverend K can't do that. So you must understand the grace, differing from each other. When you see something about somebody, like, yes, appreciate, but ask what is my input in this? Don't begin to copy. When you begin to copy, we are losing a major population in the people God is sending us to. Stay with me. So it's important for you to understand your gift. It's important for you to identify your gift. It's important for you to identify its current state. Is it in its raw form? Is it in its adolescent form? Is it in a matured form? What do I need to do to take it to the next level? I say this again because we are going to be engaging people on mountains that do not know God and do not care. You must have an appearance like the wisdom of the serpent. They don't know where you are going. They can't predict you. Say, be wise as the serpent. Be what? Be gentle as a dove. They will see your operation. They are not clear where you are going. That same wisdom, Jesus used it. He would sit in the temple and he would teach for hours. He would teach for hours, and everybody thought he came for all those thousands. Jesus' ultimate purpose was to die and bring us redemption. His lesser purpose was to raise 12 men. He didn't come for everybody. Even Mary, his mother, had to undergo that transition from mother to spiritual daughter. Because she was among those who he captained the Abida. She had to make that shift. If she did not make that shift, it didn't matter if they gave her a bed to her, she would be cut out of it. I got it wrong. Understand your current capacity, very important. Where am I now? Be honest with yourself. Don't lie. This is not the place where we lie to ourselves. Hear me. No doubt you are very good, but what is your current capacity? Am I 3,000 liters? Am I 33,000 liters? They all have three, but which one is your own? Let me give you a good example of capacity. I've given this example before. You have this, Samsung, whatever phone, S5, S6. Make it come to 16 gig memory capacity. Now, if I take two of those phones and I place it in front of you, because of our knowledge of what they are, or how they are built, we all know that the capacity is what? 16 gig. Now, we've all used up our spaces. Then we need to download a file. And then at some point in downloading, your phone begins to prompt you. You don't have enough memory space or disk. Then you're like, boy, I don't have, what do I do? And I don't say, because on my own device, last week I bought 32 gig memory card. On the outside, we both look the same. But on the inside, I have 32 gig extra that you didn't know about. My brother, just because we are dressing the same way doesn't mean we have the same capacity. Somebody made space for extra 32 gig. That's why he had it. It is deliberate. It is deliberate. Your capacity, what you will be tomorrow, is a deliberate action, decision that is made today. How do you know your capacity is not even a function of what you have access to? Everybody has value. Why do people know so little of it? We still come to church, say we want to learn the word of God, but everybody has Bible. So the person who invented the printing machine, he's thinking, why did I invent it? If you guys still cannot read. Identify what you need to complete your assignment. I'm rushing. These are all last week's message. Identify the company God is putting in your space. If you know how much time you have left, how fast will you run? Identify your sufferings, because there will be sacrifices to make. There is nobody God has ever called and he at some point demand sacrifices of that person. There's nobody. Identify your tools for engagement. It is at this point that you remember my friend again who had to interface with unbelievers and use that as an opportunity to witness to them. I was on the island last week, and then someone said to me, he said, I was asking so person, what kind of business can we do that will give us good money? And I smiled. I called him back. I said, next time, don't ask a million naira question from a thousand here. The guy looked at me, stopped, then he laughed. He said, tell me more. I said, the person you asked that question, what's his capacity? I said, do you think his capacity is as to do his bank balance? The same way I asked you last week, do you think that the US and UK being able to colonize the entire world, do you think that has to do their population? No. UK is just about 60 something million. Nigeria is over close to 200 million. Yet, you can't breathe without them. Leadership. So I said to him, I said, come, let me inspire you. Let me advise you. Let me motivate you. And I started to talk to this person. I just noticed his ears were stretched. He became very alert. He doesn't believe in God. But guess what? If I motivate him long enough, he will accept Christ. Yes. At this point, I'm talking about every tool God has given to you to be able to reach out to people. For some of you, you are so pretty. People can't but want to have your number. It's a tool for engagement. What I'm talking about now is not your purpose. I'm talking about tools. Some people confuse the tools for their purpose. Some people confuse the tools for their purpose. No, sir. No, sir. Hear me. How do you stretch your capacity? What's the difference between a Paul and a Peter? Paul was a Pharisee, yes or yes? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Peter was a fisherman. Whose mind do you think should be closed? Talk to me.
Pharisee.
Because he is not, he has been built in a particular way over time. It's not like you being a lawyer and then we're having a chat. I'm not trying to tell you something about your profession, so I can't keep quiet. I am a lawyer. That's what I do. You can't be quoting the constitution where I am. You are quoting, but let me interpret. The average lawyer believes you don't know what you are saying.
Yes.
Even though they don't tell you, they make you feel like we are together. But the average lawyer doesn't believe that you know anything. The place is quiet now. Amen. Hallelujah. No, seriously. Because they believe that what you think you know is what you read. We will now interpret. The person who has the interpretation is one who has knowledge. So it's not like they are wrong. Hear me. So any other question? When Tola Basbola is watching his TV news, TVC or whatever, and you see people shouting and screaming, the economy is bad, no justice, but that is not smiling. Every man knows why this is not working. Every lawyer. Whether you are caught with that today or yesterday, we all know why it's not working. It's people like you that will complain. And this lawyer complaining. They know why it's not working. And if you think having a professor of law as VP is the solution, why are we still where we are? I don't know if you are listening to me. I said identify your tools for engagement. What are those skill sets that the Lord has given to you with which you can easily connect with people? If you bring a Bible and put it in someone's face, they may run away immediately. But if you are able to find a point where you can connect with them, they relax, they can hear you. They can tell that, you know, I don't really agree with what you are saying, but hey, thanks for sharing with me. Somebody asks you, why is that you are so excited, you are so joyful, even in the midst of pain? Say, well, you know, the word of God says that you are not like them that sorrow, who have no hope. Say, wow. Okay. Say, now, don't get it twisted. I'm not happy, but there's a difference between happiness and joy. Say, let me explain. Say, actually, well, God's permission, not like, you know, there's something called the joy of the spirit. Then you begin to explain and begin to connect with the person. So in spite, the joy of the spirit enables you to disconnect from your external experience and connect into a river that is deeper than whatever you are going on, that going on your outside. And you can connect with that and you'll be standing. Even you will get the job done even though you have tears in your face. So don't confuse the joy of the spirit to mean you will not be crying. Understand your tools for engagement. Learn how to pray in your harvest. Many ministries, many businesses have closed down. Not because of the devil, but because they don't know how to pray in harvest. Are you listening to me? It's easy for anybody to say he has a vision. But how to pray in the harvest? Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 9, saying that what the harvest is what? Is right, but the laborers are what? What did he mean by the laborers are few? Is it that they are sleeping or that they are not existent? The fact that he said praying that the Lord will send suggests that they are already somewhere else. People with cross purposes with God. Many of what people are running with around today, they heard it in church. So there are some of us, and I need to make this clarification, who the nature of our assignment, they are temple-based assignments. We are priests. who operate majorly as priests. There are people that are going to operate majorly as kings. In the context of being able to interface with the world system, there are people that may choose to sing. As God said, I don't sing any song that put Jesus in it. But I will wire your songs for the king. That wherever it is, this guy is not saying Jesus is over. There's something about the songs. I don't tell you it's not possible. If you read in my small book, anybody can read it. But somewhere inside that book, you just know there's God dancing around somewhere here. I can smell it, and it's very strong. Because my Smuro was able to internalize his understanding of scripture, so he was able to give his own expression. It wasn't just crying. I say this again, because if we have 6 or 7 billion people on earth right now, and God's agenda for us is to go out there and win them. Look, give me Psalms chapter 2 and verse 8. Question: how do we get in the harvest? What are some of the signs of a dying church, dying local church? Number one, they are mostly adults. 90% adults. Any church that is 90% adults, we know they exist very soon. Is that church that is now 90 or 99% adults, was there a time when that church was mostly young people?
Yes.
Was there a time when it was a good mix?
Yes.
So what happened? Leadership. If you are not evolving, you will die. The churches that we call old school now, there was a time those churches were the new school. And they called the other churches old school. Are you with me? If there's nothing there, if you will not evolve, you will die. As for me, he said, I will give you what? The Eden for what? Thy inheritance and what? The utmost part of the earth for what? Thy possessions. How do we get this done? Go to Matthew chapter 28 again. The scripture of verse 17, let's jump to verse 17. Psalm Matthew chapter 28 and verse 17. Verse 18. Just said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go ahead. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and what? Teach church people. What who did God send us to? What did Psalm chapter 2 verse 8 say? What did Jesus tell us to do? Teach the nations. What did he ask us to request for? Nations. And what did he just tell us to do to the nations? Teach them. What is your teaching supposed to do to bring a baptism upon them? You are not seeing something. You are not seeing something. You are already seeing baptism by water. That's what I'm talking about. Listen again. What did David plug into prophetically? He plugged into a prophetic request to receive nations. And even the farthest places of the earth as his possession. The Lord said that we answered that prayer. And then in Matthew, he told us, he said, what? Go and teach. In other words, when Jesus died and rose again, he answered David's prayer. That request that David was making, Lord, give me nations. God answered it when Jesus rose, and now Jesus was now giving the clear instruction. I want you to begin to teach the nations. Baptize them into my doctrine. Baptize them into me. Baptize them into my doctrine. Go to verse 20. Teach them to observe what? What? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. Can you see the place of instruction here? In other words, you cannot engage the man when you don't understand where your authority is coming from. Because they will question it. They will ask you, where are you coming from? How can you engage a system that fits you? If they take away the source of income from you, how do you survive? So you have to learn how to stand on the mountain, yet your source of sustenance is not from that mountain. Jesus proved it times without number, because the kind of messages Jesus preached didn't bring offering. Guess what? The people God used to take care of just were very young women, very fine girls. You won't see them shouting hallelujah when Jesus is preaching. But after he has preached, you say, Master, how far? It's for the girl. I need to be alive to preach most message. People like Peter will shout, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Preach. Thank God for them. But there are some wonderful women who know that after preaching, man of God will drink water.
Yes.
Did you notice that all those people are shouting, preach, they ran away when he died? Those people who are ministering to him personally stood. They were the ones who stood at that grave waiting for him to rise. They were like, preach, master. Preach, I hear. The moment they heard he was dead, Jesus said, I want to say, everybody shall be to that. Are you hearing me? You know, you get it. See, where is that spiritual brother that are doing this? The real people are the ladies. So take it from me. I'm telling you, man. Take it from me, man. I mean it. I shouldn't be saying this. I was with one of my friends, Tigo and Agnes, during the week. Some of our other friends came in, a senior person. I know my friend when he started this, he can sleep on sack. Can sleep on the floor. We got to BI. They made an arrangement where you sleep. This other person came with Range Rover. I said, no. I made another arrangement. I got you a service apartment in Lekki. Stay with your chain. In my mind, I'm saying this is recession. There's recession. Somebody has already paid for his hotel booking. And you said, no, I don't want to stay there. How's the place? How's the place? No. I got you a service apartment. As he came to tell us that with the Range Rover. So, in my mind, I'm like, okay. If God is sending you to this type of person, as which is not born again, you that still has a problem with your tithe, you are looking for all the revelation that do not support tithe. Do you know that if my friend was not an unbeliever, you know that way they take care of themselves?
Yes.
Even more.
Yes.
Yeah. That when you are bringing a secular artist into a space to sing or do something, the way they prepare, right from the airport when you are coming out, there's a way you can't. All your itinerary you already planned out. There's one church in Abuja, if you go there.
Yes.
If you go there.
Yes.
Eh? If you go there.
Yes.
I've not said anything. I said there's one church in Abuja when you go there. Yes. If you are not there, you can lose your calling.
Yes.
You can come back to Lagos, change the name of your church and name it after that church. Because if they invite me, what do I think after that church? And you go with me. Even you that went with me, they will give you another. I'm not joking. One of our fathers, the former pastor of Pastor Despot, was invited to that church, Bishop Ali Jumo's wife. He was invited to that church, and when they came to pick her, you know, you go, you see, we don't know excellence. You know when they check into your hotel, man of God, and you are getting into the room, and then you see, you know, this lady's like, we love you, pastor. They just designed it on the bed, and they can put a card, you're welcome to social assembly, and then blah, blah, blah. And then you came with your Prado, because your husband have car. Or you have car, Prado. Then you have to, man of God, some people like to take a leave, and the meeting starts, you should be up in 20 minutes. Sam, what kind of car are you driving? Okay, my driver, I said, oh, no, sir, we can't take you to church in a Prado. Say, we can't take church in a Prado. In your mind, I try not to sound surprised, but like, what? Say, no, sir, what's better than Prado? They don't bring out this car. You can see from the car that this car, you are sitting inside in nylon. Just for this meeting. But they fly with an helicopter. Now, This is an unbelieving setting. And God sent you to that place. If your heart is not separated from idols, I see any system that takes care of, that feeds you. You know, you are thinking of salary, you are now hearing me properly. I see any system that can feed you, that can sustain you, that feeds the flesh in you, that feeds the ego in you, that feeds all those things that God is trying to kill in you. And God is sending you to those systems. You think I'm talking about money? I'm talking about things that swallow generals and swallow the David's and can swallow the Joshua's. I'm talking about stuff that can take the sons of a prophet and turn them to something else, sleeping with ladies on the altar, whatever could have taken the sons of Eli, and turn them to what they became. The God was so angry and smote them right there in the church. Whatever will take a demon from a boy. God sent you the message to that kind of a church. As I bring you a prophetic warning from the Lord to announce the day of God's vindication upon the earth and over Nigeria. By the time you see the rousing welcome, you know when they say, let's say, God's servant, all the way from Lagos, past to Benga, the way they will say, you think they knew before. Like, wow. Say, hallelujah. I have a good word for somebody this morning. Hallelujah. God said, no. It's prophetic vindication. If your heart is not settled, if you have not gotten to the place where you and God, you agree on something, your heart will be swayed. And then God begins to shock for another man. Say, who shall go for us? Who can we send? These are very important things. The devil does not fight power with power, he fights power with deception. When the devil is coming out for you, he will never come directly. He will come through wires. He will tell you that you are okay. He will tell you everything is alright. He will tell you just continue. You balance it up. He will tell you you need to deviate in order to stabilize. You know, he will give you all kinds of options that, you know, just kind of fit in and gets you going. You know, it's not possible to walk on the way and your head does not shake. So a little deviation is allowed, brother. He tells you, Solomon is in heaven. Do you know how we made it? Say, the just shall live by faith. Sir, there are pastors in heaven now. Yes. I know salvation is eternal, but there are pastors in heaven. It is not enough for us to gather. See, we have just maybe close about that to maybe 100 people in this church. God may be more pleased with what you are doing here than 5,000 people. A church that 5,000. The statistics, look at Gideon. God needed an army. What Gideon was able to muster could not even stand the army that was going to face. And God said, train them. Many times in your business development, in your ministry, in your company, in your God will keep telling you, downsize. Take out the dogs. Take out those people who don't understand the vision. If you complicate it, they don't get it. Segment your leadership. Put leadership on levels and on skills. Just because somebody can speak in tongues doesn't mean he should be your assistant. Just because somebody seems to be very useful doesn't mean he can work independently. Segment your leadership. Not the kind of people you deal with. Not your local areas. Gideon's already trained handy. And this is why many ministries are having problems. You cannot walk in the counsel of God and be a man pleaser. Because when God called you, he called you from something. He called you from men. Are you hearing me? When God called you, he called you from men amongst your kind. You cannot resort to them 100%. If their ways were intact, why did God call you? So I won't tell you don't take godly counsel. I won't tell you not to take counsel. I will tell you take godly counsel. Are you hearing me? So we can have 100 people that are fully deployed. So we have 100 people that goes out once every week because they have been wired and trained so that a week will not pass except I've shared the gospel with someone, or at least I have won a soul, or at least I've brought someone to church to hear the word of God. Because we have close to 40 million people or more in Lagos, half of them don't go to church. Understand your market. If you want to win a Muslim, how do you do it? Any ideas? Talk to me. Because we are looking at the numbers, we have 6 billion people. We can't, it's not everybody that does the Maka Paradi Shakala. You do it, they don't switch up, they believe you've gone magical. How do I reach somebody who is in the entertainment world and believe that that is life? Because that is why we are not getting conversion. We just steal each other. Like by just recycling.
Yeah.
How many people here have gone out this year? This is the 6th month or 7th month or 5th month, and I've said I have personally spoken to 5 people this year, or 10 people, and 5 gave their life to Christ. You see, the way God structures His governance is through self-governance. He sells the vision to you, you personalize it. That's why He doesn't give His ministry a name. Because when He comes to you, His only agenda is to sell the market to you. Once you buy it, it has become your own. Run. Habakkuk chapter 2, quickly. God's model for advancing His kingdom is through self-leadership and self-governance. He sells the vision, the intention of His heart. He sells it to you, helps you to you, buy it and understand it, helps you internalize that once you get to that point, He says, go. We learn the rest of the way. There was nobody God ever sent that was fully ready. Look at what happened to this man. He said, I will stand upon my watch, I will set myself upon the towers, and I will watch to do what? To see what he will. Do people see what? Leave that. And what shall I answer when I'm reproved? So he knew there was an issue. Verse 2. And the Lord answered, write the vision. The Lord, I'm going to show you some things now, and I want you to document it. There's no super brain with God. Every vision God gives to you is meant to uplift you. Every vision God puts in your heart has a capacitor than you, as a type T that you are talking to God. There is nothing God has ever said to anybody. There is nothing God has ever said to anybody that was about Him. And don't tell me that other people are better. For some reason He found you. It's like the first thing God said. God even begins to talk about the vision. He said, get your pen. Get your paper. I want to begin to say some things, and I want everything captured. Oh, hallelujah, Spirit of the living God. Bro, get your paper. Get your Bible. Baba wants to talk. Get your pen. Get your paper. He said, make it plain. Now, I was sharing some of my having fellowship at 2 years. I said, write the vision. Write the vision, but it's not a one-time thing. It's a continuous writing. Because much of the character, some of you who are anointed, some of our ladies here will understand. Sometimes you are in the presence of God, you are inspired to start writing some of the things He's saying to your heart. You notice that it's not like you are hearing a clear voice, but as you start writing, it continues to flow. I don't know who knows what I'm talking about. It just begins to flow. You notice that more is coming. More, and you just keep writing, the flow just keeps, the tap keeps flowing. And by the time you are done, you realize that you have an entire prophecy in front of you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You just don't see that flow. It's just coming. The reason for the writing is for the flow. It's for the river. It's for allowing the river to find access to you directly to flow. Come on, start writing. What shall I write? They say, all flesh is grass. The moment you open up the pen, open your mouth, bam, you begin to feel it. And you begin to write. You begin to scribble upon your hand. You begin to write. He said, write it. Make it plain. Because it is beyond your generation. So that somebody to go after you are done would understand the extent of what has been done, what has been communicated, then he can take it and also run with it. There is nothing God has ever done that was just about you. How do you understand what he even said to you? So we have people here trying to like, God, when are you going to call me? And I say, look, this is not about a calling. You've been called. If they give a life to Christ, you are recruited. Say, make it plain. Write it down. Document it. Make it such that it is so clear. That's why I don't understand revelation that only you understand. I don't understand. I keep trying. I try to make sense out of nonsense, but it does not work in that. You can't tell me you come into your house, you speak to your wife understands you. You go into the office, you speak to your partner in the office, your partner understands you. You go to the market, madam, give me 10 naira fish, give me 10 naira gari, she understands you. But you come into the church and you begin to speak, only you understand what you are saying. How does that work? What is different about that? There's nothing different. It's just confusion. There is nothing. Every time God has something important to say, He makes it clear. Every time God has something to say, He makes it clear. You may not understand, so you need to get interested and listen again. But God's intention is always for clarity. Because there's much you can do if you don't understand. Yes, a prophecy was said, something was being said, but you didn't understand it. I've made peace with my mom's generation that till that kingdom come, their kind of visions will be the one they are seeing. This was in my family house over the week. But goodbye, my mom was sleeping in the parlor. They entered the house and took stuff and all that. My mom said that it's a sign for them. That is, they have victory now. Well, she told my wife she didn't feel welcome. I won't even have any of that. I won't take it. So because now somebody is having to pay for all the missing items. that's all I can remember. The debit allowance I'm getting, amen. That's all I remember. And he even said, see, they took all her phones and she said, Ile Oba told you. I don't know how to tap that, you know. For those of you listening online, amen. He said, when the king's house is consumed with fire, by the time they are building a new one, it's more beautiful. So, in other words, everything that happened to her is for greater glory. My brother, exactly what just really said. Because she told me Thursday night or Friday that she'll be leaving on Saturday. I said, okay, my wife was asking, how do we get her a new phone? Because I know phones are expensive now. Even the Tokumba one is expensive. So now keep your phone with all diligence. For half of it. Amen. It's not just make sense. You can start an entire website and sell second hand products and you make money. But right now nobody else is going to anymore. So I called up my messenger stuff. I said, please go to so place on the island, get a very good phone. It's for my mom. All of that. So I gave my ATM card to keep the pay and then we brought the phone home. So I didn't say anything, but when my mom said, I moved for myself, okay, no problem. I didn't say anything. In my mind, she's like, you don't go give me phone. You don't go. I didn't say anything. I didn't ask anything. So when I got home on Friday night, I'm like, mommy, how are you? Did you enjoy the day? So I just got out the box. I said, please open this. My wife was like, no, it's for her. So she opened it. Hey! I sent it. This is another sign of I just let you do your celebrate the way you understand how best to celebrate. I came out of space and she started praying. That's my own, just praying, man. So she started praying. I could see she was praying because when she just swiped the phone. This is the first time she's using the phone where she has to swipe. So like, wow, like I'm so sick. I said, yes. I said, don't go and divide all the network. Don't do one MTN and another. Maybe it's another. Don't get Airtel and all those. So we just go like, then she prayed again. And she prayed again. And she prayed again. I just said, amen. You know that sometimes I don't say, amen. Say, amen. I could see she was thrilled. So I told her, would you like to make a call? In lady, she put us a call, just came. I'll give it up for my mom's generation. There is no revelation, New Testament that you can share that they can't. Don't leave them to the Let's focus on our own generation. But at least I'm glad that, you know, even when we're going, I'm taking her to the bank. I'm going somewhere with this story, I'm telling you. When we're going to the bank, so I stopped at the ATM. I didn't give us money. So I just stopped. I said, give me some. I just kept on. I went to Kitty Bank and then I reduced some money. I said, mommy, just use this for transport spend. So look at what I was handing over to my client.
For you.
I kept praying again. I'm praying again. This is victory. Amen. The increase on every side. Increase on the. I just said amen. So I told her, I said, okay, the fence, how much does it cost to fix the fence and the gate and all of that? She said, I said, okay, I'll get back to you. I didn't say anything. I just spoke like a businessman. So I'll get back to you. Between my wife and my uncle said, only God is going to replace that money for very soon. Label your, the value of your relationship. Isolate the toxic ones. Label and itemize, determine the value of every relationship in your life. I just use my mom as an example. Isolate the toxic ones. There are some relationships that will take more from you, strangulate you, suffocate you. You always have to be praying for grace and mercy in that relationship. Isolate them, they will die off. Let them die. When the devil realizes that he cannot abort your program, he will bring toxic relationships into your life. He will bring people with fantastic ideas, clouds without rain. Fantastic ideas. Wonderful propositions. They will use up your enemy, your energy, and then leave you dry. Have you been in a business deal where everybody talked about it and then last week they just bypassed you? You don't know what I'm talking about. You are like all your calls, all your follow up, and all of that. Just all of a sudden, nobody's talking to you. Before they realize, they've concluded. These are the things that have brought a lot of frustration to people. And then when they come to church, they're wondering, how can the church help us fix this? These are the things we're having to look at today. You must have eyes that see, you must have ears that hear. You cannot assume that everybody is running the way you are running. The richest people in this country can tell you that it's their diligence that got them. They can't tell me who do I think that they don't have altars. Identify toxic relationships. Isolate them. Those ones that bring you blessings, feed them.
Yes. Yes. Preach.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
You are the one that those relationships that are important to you.
Yeah.
And that's why I use the closest person, which is my mom. Those ones that bless you, what do you do? Feed them. Never consider anything you do for a valuable relationship as a waste. Never. It may be your best friend, it may be your husband, your wife, whoever. Never think that you waste it. Never. Never. As I get a close. Create space or systems around the vision you have been given. Create space or systems around the vision you have been given. I have seen many wonderful and highly anointed men of God and churches that close down just like that. Because they try to grow the church on the anointing. You didn't hear me. Please answer. Now, I don't know if you know this guy looks good, right? It's fine. Whether I like it or yes, it's fine. Amen. Now, see, he has a bone structure. That bone structure is what we call leadership. Every time You see, that place God removed your missing ring from, it's exposed. That's why all your life, what you are trying to do is find the ring that was taken away. Imagine as you are now, no bone in your body. You see, an enemy has done this. It's not ordinary. This cannot be ordinary. Such a promise. It looks exactly just like that. Very fine. So fine. But no bone. It doesn't matter what God wants to use it. He has no structure to carry it. Even when God wants to use you and the anointing, my son, I have called you before you were born from the foundations of the earth, and then you begin to hear all those utterances. My brother, if you have no structure, the anointing will wane. Even God cannot bring that back. God can call you and as a first installment anoint you. But if you don't enter into divine structure and find alignment, that anointing will wane. Please go and note what I'm saying. I said, even if God calls you with a holy calling and sent some of the elders in heaven to announce to you your calling, and they came with their crowns to tell you how serious your calling is, please sit. And you embrace the calling with tears. Oh, I'm so honored to be called by you. It's a melody in my heart today. No matter how graphic and supernatural your calling is, the first law of leadership is to document the mission. If you fail this one, it doesn't matter what God wants you to do for somebody else. When Jesus showed up on the scene, he showed up speaking, reading from a book. The Spirit of God is upon me. Come. When did Jesus read the Bible to that level? That means he had been reading from Genesis till he got to Isaiah. He wasn't just troubleshooting. He knew what his destiny was about, and he was deliberately working there. So there is nothing like accidental leadership. If there's anybody you see and you value the grace of God, it is because the grace of God rested on the structure of alignment. Because when God begins to walk with you and anoint you, he's anointing you based on the grace that has been apportioned to you. So you are not trying your best to be like me. I am called as a prophet, but I know that growing in ministry through prophetic anointing is the greatest disaster ever. Sir, me, Oluwamiga, I know. See, I'm telling you, sir, you won't think that I don't know that. I said and I repeat, growing a church based on Master Tar, not seeing the Lord. It's not able for that. Am I coming home now? I'm a prophet. Take it or take it. And I'm telling you, it is wrong to grow a gift on something that takes the believer's attention from God and puts it on you. The temptation is extremely high for a prophet, especially a prophet. The temptation is extremely high for a prophet. When you get into those elements, you become something else. When I get into, I become something else. Everything is communicating with you. Everything in nature and eternity is talking to you. You can pick sounds, you can pick people's thoughts. People become afraid of you. But people forget that after the grace leaves, you didn't find the deal. So my wife is like, oh, that was a powerful meeting, I forgot to cook. Please stop playing. Go ahead and give my food. Say no, I'm so blessed. Stop. But there's food at me.
amplifies the anointing is structure. What amplifies the grace of God that was given to you in Romans chapter 12 is what? Structure. Hey, hear me. What amplifies the gift of God in your life? That thing that God put in your hand is what? Structure. You are going for NYC, you don't have to die. What amplifies the gift of God in you is what? Structure. You must become the vision. The vision is not that thing. It's you. If God is sending you to broken men, if God is sending you to women, if God is sending you to young people, if God is sending you to adulterers and for whatever ministry the Lord has been, you must own that vision. You must take responsibility for it. And can I share with you? You cannot delegate responsibility.
Yes.
Do you know the meaning of what I just said? Do you understand what I just said?
Yes.
Do you understand what I mean by you cannot delegate responsibility? Who understands what I said? Please talk to me.
I think okay, like you said, you own the vision. So you want to really understand.
Can you delegate authority?
Yes.
Yes,
you can.
Like Jesus said to us, go in my name.
Yes, you can.
You can delegate authority or you can't.
You can
delegate authority. Can you delegate responsibility?
No.
You understand what I mean now?
Yes.
Just because you ask someone to do it for you, doesn't absorb you if something goes wrong. The only way you will understand what I just said is if you have a leadership spirit.
Hey.
Yeah, you didn't hear me yet. You talk to him, but you still haven't heard me. Let me repeat. God gave you a commission. I told you, go and teach nations. And then you went and taught nations. I thought that was the end. And God is saying, just because you did what I asked you to do, doesn't mean that you are absorbed from anything that is going on. I hold you responsible and liable. What is God saying? The only way you will not fail this test is if you take this vision that I'm giving to you and make it yours. So you will realize that like a CEO starts a business, he doesn't put a giant manager there and goes to sleep. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Why are people not winning souls? This is the problem. There is no ownership of the process. There is no clarity in understanding. People don't understand how inviting someone to church is part of the salvation process. They don't. For them, it is one of those things. Spa, ShopRite, it's all the same thing. Eh? So, God is warning, God, you have the word, use me. Who said that? Then God is looking for an attitude. God, I will own the vision. If nobody advances your cause in the earth again, not me. I will teach others to do the same. Jesus said, everything I have mirrored for you. Did you see him say, whatsoever I said to you? He said, whatsoever you have observed. Huh? In other words, there was nothing he was asking them to do that he had not replicated. He has taught them how to minister to a prostitute. He has taught them how to engage religious people. He has taught them how to engage the people where, you know, Jesus went for practice. Because when John came, they shouted, hey, this one is holiness is too much, you know. He cannot take ordinary Fanta. He cannot take ordinary pan wine. Jesus came before he said, Jesus said, give me pan wine. How far? Who they sing today? Okay. And Jesus will sit there. If that was his vision. The day he wasn't praying all night, you will see him there with those boys. Jesus was so comfortable, yet he was not contaminated.
Mm.
How do you get to that point? If your interface in your assignment with the people God has sent you to, where you are so solid on the inside that nothing can contaminate you from the outside. When it is properly documented, it becomes plain. It becomes clear. What God wants you to do is now clear to you. Nobody can confuse you again. When you get to the point where you cannot be confused again, that when God comes, this is the marking scheme he will use for me. That is when you can own the vision and say, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Jesus could only make that statement because he took ownership of the process. That the issue and the command to extend the functions of God's kingdom is a movement, is a people mandate. It doesn't rest with one pastor or with somebody who is trigger happy or somebody who just likes to stop being a comedian then became a pastor. No, it is a people process. It is someone that has seen the marks upon his hands and say, Lord, what are these marks for? Say, these are the seals of my redemption. Oh, I'm sending you to partake in this. Oh, here I am. Send me. As long as you think that this whole issue of taking money is about putting money in your pocket, you have been taking. You have been taking. You have been taking. The life portion of the harvest of the earth are still out there in issue. And that is one of the primary purposes of this church, to engage, to disciple, to deploy. Church like you know it. It's not church like you know it. God is looking for people who are willing not to be known, but will take ownership of the system. It's a personal thing. It's a personal thing, I tell you. It's a personal thing when you wake up and tell yourself, before the end of the week, I must speak to at least two people every week and ask them, do you know who Jesus is? Most people don't know. They don't. Look at the impact of the version of Christianity we have practiced over time. It has made us very docile. And that is why we are here. I want to call you this morning to a place of fresh repentance before the Lord. Is it possible that you choose to be different like Daniel? Even when there is nothing in it for you. The having them give different according to the grace that has been given. Let us minister according to the grace that has been given to us. And I said to him, Lord, will you please do this for us? And he said, I have done my part. The next move is yours. The next move is yours. It's your move, brother. It's your move, sister. Stop waiting on him. He has, after he finished the work, he sat down at the right hand of the Father, waiting till all his enemies have been made his footstool. The next move is yours. Why are you there waiting and asking God, what are you going to do? I don't know. I need your wisdom. He said, sir, I die. I'm seated. The next move. When he rose up from that grave, as the stones were being rolled away, scripture tells us that the scarf that was used to cover his head, he took his time to arrange it positively. He may find that he has concluded his own part. The cloth that was used to wrap his body was scattered, signifying that all the activity will now move from head to body, to bring the body into alignment so that it can be folded in union with the scarf. My brother, the next move is yours. Until you realize that you could be God's last man standing on the earth, you don't understand what I'm talking about here. That God will require an Isaiah to say, here I am, send me. And God will tell you before you start, no, they will not hear. So don't expect immediate harvest. Know that you may be rejected and may even suffer for this thing you are going to do. That you can, God can now find everything in you as a tool, as a weapon that he can use. Simply because somebody understands that the next move. Forget about ministry. Talk to somebody about the love of God. Don't worry about ministry. Let somebody know God's love. all of that effort and energy was to put you in a place where you can have visibility with certain people that will have an opportunity to hear about Jesus. More than 10 years before Obama became president, Tulebaka gave a prophecy about Obama. I don't know if you heard that prophecy before. That a black man would lose the presidency in the United States and gave some details about him. But Obama got into presidency and became a tool for the devil. How come that in America, God found nobody who could pass Obama? Yeah, there's a prophecy about it. There are different versions of Christianity. If you go to Canada, the version of Christianity they practice there. You see, even Justin Bieber is David, like a reckless boy. It's not a problem for them in Canada like that. He's doing his job. He may be holy, but the nature of his business allows him to be doing like this with naked ladies. It doesn't affect his Christian faith. Canada makes it so. You can't do it in Nigeria. So when God is sending to pastor someone like Justin Bieber, if you do not know what it takes to hold somebody accountable, you'll be trying to make your spiritual daughter your girlfriend. I am not here to be the nice pastor desktop. I am your drill sergeant. I will make you fast. I will make you pray. I will stretch you. If everything in the future is calling out to your present, I will stretch you. I will not smile with you sometimes. I will scream on you. Because if at the end of the day, we get people coming to the Lord in their hundreds every week, and don't tell me it's not possible. Don't tell me it's not possible. I know what we do in my office when we need to push a particular product. We issue queries and tie it, freeze people, pay people's salary and freeze it. They can't spend the money until you submit a report of your performance. And you see everybody, come and sign your mobile app, oh, come and do this, oh, come and do that. Oh. Why? Because of an earthly glory.
Hey!
Maybe 500,000, 400,000. See people running up and down, trying to get deliveries. That's a man. A man sees something like that. Because as far as he's concerned, if you are earning my salary, if I'm paying you and you're not advancing my cost in this company, then you are earning it. Get out. That's the way the CEO is only looking for profit. You are the one that thinks you found a job. The only reason why he put you there is to make him, help him make money. That's all. Stop deceiving yourself. I found this job, God did it, it was glorious. Yes, yes, yes. But you are going to be advancing somebody's cost. So what are you going to do then? What are you going to do then? Are you going to be the unlikely man that found that man that was wounded by the way and took care of him? Because there are some unlikely people God will raise in these last days. People will not think they could be called. People will not think there was anything that will come out of their life. But there will be the people who heard the voice, take care of this man. It's not enough to be in church. We must understand why we are here. Take the vision, make it yours. So that you cannot say like Paul, according to my doctrine in Romans chapter 2, according to my doctrine, you will not take everything God says and say it is your own. If not, by the time God is saying to you, my brother, it's time to step away from this and come into this, you really want to fight God. What are you going to do about this? Verse 6 of Romans chapter 12 suggests that there are proportions in grace. That means that there is a possibility of growing in grace. Are you hearing? A person can grow in grace. A person can what? Can grow in grace. You can grow in grace through the knowledge of God's word, of Jesus. You can grow in grace by impartation. You can grow in grace through relationships. Are you hearing me? You can grow in grace through relationships. Be careful who you bring into your inner circle. You can grow in grace through relationships. The kind of people you associate with can amplify your gift, but they can subjugate it. Peter was a fisherman. He knew nothing about God. He stayed with Jesus for 3 years. And on the day the Holy Ghost fell, Peter opened his mouth. This is that which was spoken. If it was a Paul that said that, I would not have been surprised. I am Paul. But Peter, that didn't know how to read, opened his mouth just by spending time with Jesus and said, this is that which was prophesied by Joel, that in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Peter, 2 weeks ago, you still lied and denied him. But the next move is yours. Let me tell you, God said that he has not changed his mind. Say, ask of me, I will give you the nations as your possession. But when I give you those nations, can you teach them? To teach them, you must have superior knowledge. To teach them, you must have superior wisdom. You must understand the way your enemy's mind works. It's not just to read the Bible, read those business books, read those leadership books. Understand the way their system works. If not, how can you function? They read everything about you, don't know anything about them. They read you up on their computers. This guy is going to give us problem 5 years, man. So they start planning systematically against you. And here you are, Lord, hallelujah. Some portions of your destiny will require you to run. Some portions will require you to stand and fight. Sometimes it will require you to stand and do nothing. We can't afford to keep stumbling into the place. Always stumbling into the place of our destiny. Always stumbling. Sometimes we've got to take deliberate walks. Sometimes we've got to take deliberate walks. I didn't just find my way here. I was commanded to be here. The requirement of this call will tell us that at some point in our journeys, we will have to lay down the sword. And we have to go back home. Because this is not the home. This is the warfare ground. This is the market. At some point, we have to finish our work. And then we'll go back home. At some point, in Jesus' time, whoever goes first or comes first, one day I will be put on a stretcher and you will shout, praise the Lord, and I will not answer you. Until you see the call of God over your life stronger than death, then you will live in perpetual fear of death. You will allow your emotions to rule you and destroy you and discourage you. If you don't want to die, don't be born. If you don't want to be a widow, don't marry. If you do any of this, you will experience the other, except Jesus comes in time. But death is not the end of us. Death is not the end of us. Death is conquered. Death is not the end of us. Whether 33 or 30 or 70, death is not the end of us. But I don't know how much time I have left. But something tells me that this earth is running out of time. So what do you do? The next move is yours. If you can structure that vision the Lord has put in your hand, do not fight to move. You know there are many people God wants to reach, but if he reaches them under the emblem of a church, you will lose the people he sent you to. So if you allow people to start it as normal NGOs or normal organizations, they look faceless, but they are forceful. And you'll be penetrated, they will open their minds to you. Walk into the house of any Muslim and continue to bless him financially. Continue to bless him, don't be blessing him financially. Be giving him talk. It's how people open to you.
Yes.
Go and ask any Muslim, they open their hearts to love. Go and ask any Muslim, they open their hearts to love. Then you don't get to hell. Now they tell you about Jesus, they are not here. Brother, get up. You don't know why we are here. God wanted Paul the apostle. Do you know that as at the time Jesus was preaching, Paul was already alive? Jesus must have gone to the temple and must have seen Paul Father Gamaliel study. He just smiled. I'm coming. Jesus saw Paul the apostle and ignored his entire ministry. Because Gamaliel was at the Western Inca of that time. Jesus totally ignored him. And later Paul will rise to become the foremost apostle. He knows what he's doing. God is not at a loss about your life. He's not. He knows what he's doing. And he's coming for you very soon. Be ready. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I speak.
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us. Plot 223 beside Bode Emmanuel Center, Satellite Bus Stop, Ikodu Road, Ilukpeju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website at www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling 080-8317-8191. God bless you.